You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day starts all over again.
Here's today's message from Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. Let's turn and wave to each other and give a greeting. And if you're outside, honk at us. Honk, honk. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and thank you for the privilege to meet and worship you. We pray you'll pour your Spirit out upon us supernaturally today and bless our day. And we just want to tell you we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to share a few announcements with you. The ladies' banquet is coming up. The tickets are available in the lobby. I want to encourage you to avail yourself of that. And today, we have one of our youth that's coming to share the rest of the announcements with you, Sophia. And she shared with us last week. This is an example of their ministry for us. And so let's give Sophia a welcome. Come on.
Good morning. I have a couple announcements for you today. So first of all, if you are our guest, welcome. If you have this sale, you can rip out this little thing on the end, fill it out, put it in the offering, and we would love to have it because it helps us minister to you better, and we would love to see you next Sunday. And if you are not currently in a life group, we encourage you to attend. It is every Sunday at 9:15. It's a great time for just fellowship in a smaller group, and it's really a blessing. So I encourage you to go to that. And the National Day of Prayer is coming up May 6th. It's at the gazebo at the Martin County Courthouse. It starts at noon. We will be implementing social distancing guidelines. Feel free to wear a mask, do what you need to do, but that's going to be a really important time. Our world needs prayer right now, so if we gather together, you know, the Lord will do what he does best. So the Annie Armstrong Easter offering is here at the bottom of the sale. It is a missions program to reach North America, so you can just designate on the envelope that you want to have that go towards Annie Armstrong and just put it in the offering, and that's what it'll go to. There's also the Holy Land trip you can go to with Pastor and Kim. It's for 10 days from January 25th to February 3rd in 2022, so there's still lots of time to gather whatever you need to gather and pray about it, and that'll be a really incredible trip. And also, I was looking at the sale and noticed that we are only $730 off our budget. So I think we should catch up on that this week. So I encourage all of you to pray about that and give what the Lord lays on your heart to give. But, you know, if anyone wants to step up, it's, yeah. So, all right, thank you.
Pray with me, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day to gather in this, your place. Father, we thank you for Andrew and the praise team bringing us into a spirit of worship. We pray for the word that you laid on Pastor's heart. And we pray, Father, that you'll give us ears to listen and hearts to understand. Father, too, later this afternoon, we pray for and ask that you bless our youth gathering and to bless that ministry and those young people and Rebecca and what she's doing. Father, we also pray for opportunities to share your word of your saving grace, Father, with everyone we meet today and throughout this week. We love you and praise you and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's give him a hand. We want to release our children for Children's Church out this door fast as you can. Well, today we want to look at a passage. I love this passage, and it's talking about some of God's provisions in our life and the resources that he gives us literally for all provisions. In fact, in the text, it's going to talk about life and godliness, which really covers everything. And it's important for us to recognize this. And so I want us to walk through this today, and I want you to really be thinking about, as we look at this passage, what God has given you personally, what he's provided for you so that he can duplicate his son in you and make you more like Christ, make you look like Christ. So 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. It's interesting when you look at this at the beginning of it that we see the Apostle Peter describing himself. I'm a bond servant and I'm an apostle. And he said, I'm a servant of the Lord and I'm sent out by Christ. That's what apostolos means. It's a sent one, one sent out from Jesus Christ. In one sense, that should be true of every one of us, that we are all bond servants of God. Scriptures talk about us that way, that we're his servants. And a bond servant was literally indentured to the owners. And they were marked to the owners. In fact, they would put their earlobe up against a doorpost sometimes and pierce it through with an awl. There were different types of ways they were marked. But they said, I'm giving myself to you to serve, a bond servant. And he talks about this and he says, these to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. Now, there are different types of faith out there. There are different types of beliefs. In fact, I've just started kind of really digging in a little bit on the emerging church. And there's arguments to say that a major movement of church in America is not scriptural. In fact, they denigrate scripture. They say it's not really necessary. And they'll say things like, we don't care about doctrine, we just care about Jesus. Well, Jesus is the living word, and the word of God is the doctrine of God. And everything we know about God, we know from scripture. If you denigrate scripture, then you're elevating it to some mystical religion, and that's not what we have. In fact, he describes it and he says, this same faith, like ours, the kind is ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's saying the faith that we have is by the righteousness of Christ, who is God and our Savior. This is one of the deity passages in the New Testament. If anyone ever tells you that the Bible never claimed that Jesus is God, that's a lie. In fact, this first verse, 2 Peter 1:1, remember that, can take you right to it, because this conjunction is linking together God and Savior to one person, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our God, and Jesus Christ is our Savior. And the faith that we have is an imputed righteousness. It's a righteousness that God has given us, not that we've earned or deserved. That's why every spirit-filled, truly spirit-filled Christian is going to have an air of humility about them, because they're going to recognize that the righteousness they have is not their own. I hope this doesn't become a revelation to any of you, but you're not better than anybody else. Now, you may walk around town like that with your chest out, you know, and a big gold cross hanging on a gold necklace around your neck, and you may, you know, I'm better than other people, but you're not hot stuff. You know, you're not. And God is not in a dilemma without you. Now, we had a wonderful staff member that was an administrator here for years and years, and when Colleen left, I gave an illustration. I said, and I did it to show you we were transitioning to Sam and that we had a plan and that we were moving on, but I said, the indispensability test is stick your finger in a cup of water, and if you pull it out and it leaves a hole, you're indispensable. And so Nick said, someday, Pastor, when I retire, please don't share that Colleen illustration, that indispensable illustration. But the fact is, it's not our righteousness. God doesn't need us. We desperately need Him. And our Christianity, true Christianity, biblical Christianity, the only Christianity that's going to get someone to heaven is exactly where the Apostle Peter said, a faith like ours. And what is that faith? And he defines it, and he says it here again. He says, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That faith that's by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So every one of us here today, if you claim the name of Christ, you need to recognize that your goodness, your holiness, your righteousness, in fact, the virtues of your life should stem from the personality of the Holy Spirit indwelling you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the indwelling presence of Christ. And this is the goal in our lives. We need to be saying, not what should I do to become a better person. I just got a text this morning from a dear man. I led he and his wife to Christ knocking on doors down in Hollywood, John Wetzel. And he sent a text. In fact, you can pray. John Jr. injured his arm drastically and is being rushed in for an emergency operation this morning. His grown young son, one of his sons. But years ago when I was knocking on doors, John Wetzel owned Pool Deck Pool Company. And I won his wife to Christ first, Vicky, and then began to witness to John and shared Christ with John. John gave his life to Christ. But as a baby Christian, he was being pursued by the Masons to join that fraternity, the Fraternal Order of the Masons. And John told me, he said, Pastor, I want the Masons to make me a better man for Jesus. I want them to, you know, help make me a greater man, a better man, so that I can serve Christ better. And so with my truthful nature, which I guess always risks membership for people, whether they're going to stay or not, I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, John, Jesus does not want to make you a better man. Jesus wants to kill the old John Wetzel and build a brand new one. He's not into renovation. He's into demolition and reconstruction. Oh, Pastor, I said, that's right. You as a great Mason or a great elk or a moose or any other fraternal or a Boy Scout, that's not going to make you a better Christian. You need to allow Jesus Christ to release his life through you. Beloved, that's the secret of the Christian life. You may be saying, my whole life I've been straining to try to live out the Bible, to fulfill the Ten Commandments, to fulfill all the other principles. And if you add them all up, there's hundreds of premises and statutes and principles in Scripture that we can't begin to fulfill. Years ago at my first church, we had a young woman that started coming to church, beautiful lady, a model in Miami. And her name was Arlene. And we went to visit her. I took a couple of the grandmas of the church with me, and we went to visit her. And on visitation, she said, Pastor, I've just been coming to your church for 2 or 3 weeks, but you said we need to read the Bible, and I read the Gospel of John. I've read half of the Gospels. I've been reading a lot in Scripture, and I've come to a conclusion. What is it, Arlene? The conclusion is no one can live this out. I can't do it. I guess I can't be a Christian because I can't live that out. And I said, actually, what you said is very spiritual, because the Bible says that it's a mirror that shows us ourselves and our inadequacy so that we can trust Christ, so that we can allow Christ to be our righteousness. He doesn't want you to live it out. He wants to live it out through you and fulfill it. She said, but that makes all the difference in the world. She teared up, gave her life to Christ, got baptized at church, and lived for the Lord. And so you and I need to recognize that in Scripture, this is the faith the Apostle Peter's talking about, where he says that it's a faith the same kind as ours. So you and I have the privilege here 2,000 years later to say, I have the same faith that the Apostle Peter had. Now, there's hundreds of millions of Catholics all over the world that claim Peter is the founder of their church, the first pope. Of course, you know, popes and priests and all that aren't supposed to get married, and Jesus healed his mother-in-law. That's a whole nother sermon. You can't get a mother-in-law without having a, you know what, you got to have a wife. So anyway, so here's this Peter, the apostle. And he's talking about the righteousness. Now, if you look here also, you'll see that in the next verse, he said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, in this next verse, it is not just talking about Jesus. It's talking about God the Father and Jesus. You've got Jesus designated as God and Savior in verse 1. But then he says, grace and peace are multiplied to us in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Multiplied to us. These things are multiplied in our life. Grace and peace. How many of you want peace in your life? Raise your hands. How many of you want grace in your life? Grace is the God's riches at Christ's expense. It's the unmerited favor of God. It's his favor with you, his blessings on your life. And he says this can be multiplied to you by two of the Trinity, God the Father and God the Son, our God and our Savior, two separate personal pronouns, possessive pronouns, our God and our Savior. And so you've got the divinity of Christ, the deity of Christ in the first verse. You've got two of the Trinity, Father and Son, in the second verse. Now, there are times that these are linked together and people have tried to separate them, and they shouldn't. One is after the resurrection. We just came through Easter. And when Jesus appeared in the upper room, doubting Thomas, we call him. He said, I won't believe. I won't believe unless I stick my hand in his wounds. I'm not going to believe unless I do that. And sure enough, here Jesus in his resurrected body passes through the door and comes right in with them. And he says, here, place your hand in my side where the spear pierced. Place your hand where the nails pierced. And Thomas dropped to his knees, and he said in John chapter 20, I think it's chapter 20, verse 28, he said, he dropped to his knees, he said, "My Lord and my God," to Jesus. "My Lord and my God," to Jesus. And so we see here the Trinity involved in the gifts that are given to us. And we know from Corinthians that the gifts are imparted by the Holy Spirit. In fact, we know that the Spirit of God chooses even our spiritual gifts, the proper gifts that we use to serve. And so here we've got this aspect. Now, let's look at a few points here. God has given us divine power. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything to life and godliness. So the divine power has given us these provisions. The divine power has given us the provisions that we need to live for Jesus, pertaining to life and godlikeness, godliness provided by God. And he's given that to us. And so you and I have been given these things, every one of us. Every person here truly indwelt by Christ. Every one of us have been given these abilities for life and godlikeness. Scripture tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world and will carry nothing out. Therefore, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. As you know, Kim and I just sold one house and bought another here in town, and we're downsizing some, and we're carrying things back and forth. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. What's the best way to move a house? One room at a time. We're not just backing a big truck up and killing ourselves with everything. We're spreading it out through our membership, and different people with trucks are coming in, and we're just killing one man at a time, one room at a time. But it says in Scripture that we can take nothing with us. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we can take nothing with us. Therefore, having food and clothes, let us be therewith content. To be godlike. I'm so glad we don't have to move to heaven. Aren't you? How many of you like moving? I don't see one hand. And if you did, we'd all think you're strange. But we're moving to heaven. We're moving to heaven. And we don't have to take anything with us. Other people go with us, and we can send them as they die and go to be with the Lord. So we see here this aspect of the provisions for life, the provisions for godliness. And then we see also that God has provided a divine procurement for us. It says, through knowledge, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory. And if you look back in verse 2 again, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then if you add on the end of verse 3, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. The word for knowledge here is epignosko. And epi is a preposition, kind of a modifier. And the epi means to lean toward, to move forward to draw close to. And the idea is that you and I need to be working diligently in our mind and in our life to move toward Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We need to be moving toward them. We need to lean toward them. We need to be working toward them. And it's the idea of a full knowledge of them. A full knowledge of them. One of our dear men in the church made me a pen. He makes these pens. And He took a piece of an antler from a deer my dad took years ago, and he sanded it and smoothed it, and he made a pen for me, and it's the coolest pen. And I love things like that. This pen has a little bolt on it like a rifle that pushes the point out the end. I mean, this is the coolest pen I've ever owned. And when he handed it to me, I couldn't help myself. I hugged him and gave him a kiss on the cheek. I leaned in toward him. And I'm not gay, don't have a gay bone in my body. Ask Kim, she'll confirm. But I just leaned toward him, and I know this man well and love him. And the idea is, with God, he wants us to lean toward him, move toward him. You're not going to move toward him, especially if you're constantly locked into social media on your phone or tablet or your PC or whatever. If you're constantly on the internet, if you're constantly tied into the network, you're not going to move toward him if you're constantly staying busy with the tyranny of the urgent and small things around your life. This morning, I don't think I'm in trouble, but I might be. I started baking for Kim and I this morning, and when I looked out, the storm crushed a tree and covered our whole backyard with this giant ficus tree. It bounced two or three times. We were sitting by the sliding glass door, saw it bounce, and it crushed it into our yard, covered our patio with it from the commercial property behind us. And I'm sitting here, I just put the bacon on, and I look and I see these limbs that FP&L V-cut that were hanging on our telephone wire in the backyard. And I thought, while this bacon is cooking, I can run out there. Now, this is Sunday morning. I need to be getting ready for church and all that. It's somewhat of a distraction. But I said, I can't leave those limbs hanging, those hangers hanging on that wire. And so I said, this will just be a minute. I'm going to get them and toss them back over to the guy who owns them, who gave them to me, the commercial property behind us over the fence. So I run out there. And then I see other limbs and other limbs. And all of a sudden, I hear the alarm going off for the smoke detector in the house. And Kim, who's in the bathroom getting ready, banging on the window. And I'm not quite done, and I'm kind of like a finished guy. And so I grab some more limbs. And so Kim, I guess, turns the coat on, turns off the alarm. And the tyranny of the urgent pulls us away from the most important things and distracts us and can take our time away. And you need to think about, what is the most important thing in your life? Is it your family? Well, that's very important, but it shouldn't be the most important thing. Is it your job? Is it your house? Is it your friends? Is it Facebook or the internet or social media? What are these things? What is the most important thing in your life? It's your relationship to God and your godliness, your godlikeness. God's going to judge us on that. He's not going to say, how many friends did you have on Facebook? He's not going to ask, how much money did you have in your retirement account? He's not going to ask, what type of house are you living in? What kind of car did you drive? If any of us were restricted today to a deathbed, whether it be cancer or COVID, we would not be thinking about any of those things. We would be thinking about going to see God. We would think about and rehearse in our life, what have I done to prepare to go see him? What have I done for Christ? Yesterday was the CareNet March for Life in Port St. Lucie Civic Center. And actually, my perception was the crowd was down from the years in the past. And we were there, and some of our youth group was there, some of our people were there. But I thought, this is a day, a Saturday, that everyone there is going to be grateful to God they invested that day for the lives of babies. They asked me to open in prayer, and I prayed this and said, Lord, we want to thank you that we know emphatically that every unborn baby on the face of the earth is pro-life. The millions of them in their mother's womb all over the earth, they're all pro-life. They could be in Democrat families. Those babies are pro-life. These are the important things, the things of life and godliness, the things that God wants us to pursue and to be involved in. And so he's provided divine procurement. The procurement is through the knowledge of him, getting to know him, working on your relationship with him. Then we see also God has given us divine promises. Look at the second part of verse 4. And he's granted to us precious and magnificent promises in order that by them we may be partakers of the divine nature. Magnificent and precious promises. What's interesting about our God, the true God, the only God who's there, the God of the universe, the God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is that he keeps his promises. He is knowable. He said, I treat you like friends and I share everything with you. And we know it through Scripture. There's more in the Bible than we can ever know. You will never get to the end of Scripture. I've been reading through the Bible every year for several decades now, and I'm constantly finding new things. Even in this passage today, I'm sharing with you, I had never seen before the fact of the deity of Christ in verse 1 and Father and Son in verse 2 delineated side by side. I'd never seen that before. And the idea of the divine promises, God is a promise keeper and he keeps his promises. Whatever he promises to do for you, he will do it. Now, other gods are not like that, the so-called gods of the world. In Islam, Allah is capricious. In fact, for 1 billion Muslims all over the world, 1.5 billion, they'll say Allah is unknowable. And Allah does what Allah wants to do. Well, what's he going to do? I don't know what he's going to do, but he does what he wants to do. The God of the Old and New Testament, the God of our Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is knowable and he keeps his promises. People say, well, you can't say that about God because God can do anything he wants to. And I repeatedly will come back as strong as I can on that and say that is simply not biblical or true. God cannot violate Scripture. God puts parameters around himself. That's why it says in the Psalms, why have you limited the Holy One of Israel? If God in his sovereignty was overwhelming where he says, I'm going to do what I want to do always, and it's not tied to anything according to just my own whims, then we couldn't limit him. There would be no conditional promises. If you pray, I'll do this. If you fast and pray, I'll do that. If my people, which are called by my name, and on it goes. And so we see that God says, I'm a promise-keeping God. I'm a God you can depend on. I'm there for you, and I will answer your prayers. I want you as a practical practice to leave here today, all of you, every one of you, and make as a goal this week that you're going to pray out loud for somebody somewhere about something. It could be a waitress. It could be the mailman. It could be a plumber that comes to your house. Summer's coming, it could be an air conditioning guy. But make a commitment today in your heart. I'm going to pray for somebody, somewhere, about something. Because I want to tell you something. Through the years, I have just seen this be a gigantic boomerang from God. Throwing it out there, it swirls around, it swings, and it comes right back. It returns. It is so exciting to run into people and them say, "Pastor, you prayed for me, and here's what happened." Nick and I were eating at the barbecue place that used to be at the foot of the bridge in Jensen. What was the name of that one? What was it?
PA.
Not PA, in Jensen. Tony Romas. We went there for quite a while when Justin was our worship leader. We went there for lunch a lot. And our waitress was this heavily pregnant girl, and she came and I said, "Before we eat, can we pray for you about anything?" She started tearing up immediately. She said, "I've got a doctor's appointment this afternoon, and I went a week ago, and they're telling me I'm losing the baby. The baby is not in the right position, and today they're going to confirm, they're saying they're going to confirm that I'm losing this baby. Can we pray for you?" "Yes." And she starts really weeping. So grab her hand. "Lord, please move the baby in the right spot. Protect the mom and the baby. And please give this dear girl this child in Jesus' name." So 2 days later, we came back because they had a great comeback and get a free meal thing going on. And so we all went back. Justin got it down to where he only had to buy two lunches, and he got the third one free the way he was doing. He'd go on the double day and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, we're back 2 days later, and this girl comes bouncing over to us. She wasn't even our waitress that day. And she said, "Oh my, Pastor, I can't believe it. I went in 2 days ago that afternoon, and the doctor looked and he said he couldn't believe it. The baby was moved and shifted to where it's supposed to be, and I'm in as healthy a position as I can be." God answered prayer. It's a miracle from God. And you think that doesn't make lunch a lot better? I mean, it just changes everything. So do that this week. Pray for somebody somewhere about something and give God an opportunity to keep these promises and to exhibit his divine nature. He says through these promises that there's a couple of other things they've done for us. If you look with me in the passage again in verse 4, "In order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature." The promises have promised to give us the divine nature. The scriptures say that you and I are now partakers. That means we have a part of, we are partakers of the divine nature. The Bible says that when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord instantly, in a nanosecond, less than the twinkling of an eye. And then the scriptures tell us this, when we see Jesus, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. And I believe from these verses and some others that when you and I die, that God, the riches of heaven is not God dragging a gold chest over to us and say, "Look at all the coins you've got," because that's pavement in heaven, streets of gold. But the riches of heaven is the nature of God. It's knowledge. The knowledge of God. In fact, already now, the most valuable currency in the world today is not gold, it's not Bitcoin, it's not stocks and bonds, it's not real estate, it's human time and human information. That's why all these people have become billionaires, mining our information. Time, human life. Time and existence. And God is going to share with us his omniscient knowledge. I think about this not every day, but often. Now all four of our parents are in heaven, and all four of them know everything. Now of the four, I think Elaine, Kim's mother, felt like she knew the most. But now she knows everything. And second to her was probably my dad, and then my mom, and then Mr. Curry, sweet Mr. Curry, on the tail end. But all four of them have omniscient knowledge. They know everything about everything on the earth. All of our dead loved ones in Christ are partakers of the divine nature. They're seeing Jesus, and they're like him, for they'll see him as he is. And they have that knowledge. People ask me at funerals, can my loved ones see me? Can I talk to them? We're forbidden from talking to them. But they're the cloud of witnesses watching, and they know everything. You and I are already on that track in Christ, and nothing will reverse it. Someday God's going to share that rich wealth with us, that knowledge, and we're going to know everything like he does. And this is how we become co-heirs with Christ, brothers and sisters to Christ. And he's going to allow us to be just like him. And so we see the divine nature, and the scriptures talk about that. We've escaped corruption with it. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it's not appeared as yet what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And we will escape the corruption of this world. And then it says, we've escaped lust. We've escaped lust in this world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And then in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. There's a chain of events. Lust entices, lust attracts, lust draws. And it's not just sexual. It's if you want that car someone else has and you go into debt getting it. Or if you think I need to move to the bigger house or whatever the case might be. The things around us. I need that clothing. I need those shoes. There were kids years ago killed over the Michael Jordan tennis shoes, where they had these $200, $300 tennis shoes, basketball shoes, and kids killed them to get their shoes. That's a form of lust. That's a form of enticement. And he says that we're carried away by it, and then when it conceives, it gives birth to sin, and then sin brings death. So lust, sin, death. Godliness, righteousness, life. Life now and life eternal in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we thank you and praise you so much for your revelation in Scripture. Thank you for your promises, these wonderful, precious promises. And thank you, dear God, that you have delivered us. Thank you, Lord, that we can know you and have a personal relationship with you. And it begins by our repentance and giving our hearts and lives to you. And right now, whoever's watching, whoever you've allowed to watch that maybe doesn't know you, we ask you, dear God, to knock at their heart's door. We pray that you'll give them the grace and mercy to repent, to receive you, to inherit your divine nature. And I want to ask you right now, if the Lord's knocking at your heart's door, to just say, dear Lord Jesus, please cleanse me and forgive me and come into my life. Share your nature with me. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage you this week with our homework. What are you going to do this week? What are you going to do? Pray for somebody. Somebody, somewhere, somehow, you go pray for somebody. And then also, too, lean in toward God. Get closer to Him. The best way to get close to God is reading the Word of God. Reading Scripture directly, reading it daily, and allowing Him to speak to your heart and life. He says, we don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from His mouth. And so I want to encourage you to do that this week. Read the Scriptures. Dwell on them. Lean in toward God. Get closer to Him. Let's stand together and we're going to sing during our invitation. And maybe God's speaking to your heart this morning about being a part of our fellowship, joining our family. Maybe He's speaking to you about giving your life to Christ. Maybe He's talking to you about following the Lord in believer's baptism. However He's speaking to your heart this morning, we want to invite you to come and do business with God. Let's sing together. Please be seated. Rich Town, I'm going to ask you to dismiss us in prayer if you can make your way up. I want to remind you again about our fundraiser for the youth over in the fellowship hall. And you can eat with us and come eat with Kim and I. Or you can get it in a styrofoam bucket and take it home. And so we want to encourage you either way to do that. The tickets to the ladies' banquet are in the lobby. They've got a great banquet lined up. And just want to encourage you to take part in that. I love Rich. Rich started listening to us on the radio. And where do you live, Rich?
West St. Lucie.
In PSL. And he said, I'm going to go down there and see what's going on. I've been listening to this and want to check it out. And he's been a faithful man. He's conservative. He loves God, loves Scripture. And we praise the Lord for him. And so I'm going to have him dismiss us in prayer today. Rich, if you would.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the words that the pastor shared with us. I ask you to open up our hearts and receive that word. Anything you want to point out to us, please make it clear that we understand it and we do what your word says. We thank you for everything that you do for us, Lord, providing for all of our needs. We thank you for dying on the cross and taking the punishment that we deserved. We thank you for everything, Lord. I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stuart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why Life Group Bible Studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning Life Group Bible Study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and High School Dual Enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
Hello, I'm Darrell Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stewart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstewart.org. and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.